The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Finding Hope on the EWN Radio Network with Counselor Mandy Epley, where you will learn practical tools for navigating your losses and hear inspiring real-life stories from courageous people who have moved through their losses and found hope. And now, your host, Counselor Mandy.
Hi, welcome to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and I am thrilled today. I have an incredibly fascinating woman with us today, Dr. Linda Bender. Linda has so much to share with you all about love, the love of animals, and her activist work in the world, her huge spirit, her giving back. There's so much to say. And as always, Finding Hope is about helping you do just that, to support you in your grief journey, to support you in your growth, to support you in empowerment and claiming your leadership in the world, and actually using your losses and the things you've experienced in your life to empower you to find the gems and the treasure within yourself to give back to the world. And as always, every week I want to give a shout out and a big thank you to the producer of Finding Hope, my dear friend, Cindy Valero. Hey, Cindy.
Hey there.
Cindy, will you do the honors and introduce Dr. Linda Bender to our listening friends today?
Dr. Linda Bender's love of the natural world began in her childhood backyard. Her innate rapport with animals inspired her to earn a doctorate degree in veterinary medicine. During the 14 years she spent living in England, Asia, Africa, and the Middle East, Linda's veterinary work included the rescue, rehabilitation, and protection of wildlife, often in remote areas. Working with zoos in Southeast Asia, she treated animals rescued from wildlife trafficking trade and helped introduce them back into their natural habitat. In 2014, Linda wrote a book called Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. This book illuminates the undeniable ability for animals to restore our ecological, emotional, and spiritual balance. And we are so thrilled to have Linda here with us today. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, thank you very much for having me. I'm delighted.
So I want to say thank you for being with us today, and I'm really excited for our eWomen Network listening audience to learn about you, Linda, and your work in the world. And I want to begin with one of these questions that I love so much that I ask all of our guests on Finding Hope, and that is, what has been one of the great heartbreaks in your life, Linda, and how has that led you in your calling?
I take a deep breath when I begin, because initially I thought, well, I will tell the story of tremendous heartbreak that I felt when I was working in the field, boots on the ground in Asia, and I lost birds that I tried to rescue. But for some reason, the story I really want to tell, and I don't often tell it, is about my beloved cat, Whimsy, who was my best friend for 18 years. He traveled all over the world with me. He went through a plethora of boyfriends. I valued his opinion on everything, and he quite honestly was a bodhisattva. I rescued him and from the moment we our eyes met, we were never separate. And he died in my arms when he was 18. I apologize. I still can't tell this story without shedding a few tears. But this was some time ago. But my beloved Whimsy's death after all those years was such a tragic loss to me. I remember he died slowly of chronic kidney failure. And so he actually passed in my arms. And while that process was evolving, I sat there thinking, how can I even do this? How can this be happening and how can I get through it? It just cracked me open to the depths of life that truly nothing else in my life had done before. I'd committed to loving my Whimsy more than any other being I had ever known, and my heartache just went to the core of me. And it took me, well, he's still with me, but it took me years to go through the process that I knew I had to go through. But it's part of life. It's part of what we do. And I still miss him. I still feel him. But it truly was one of the most tragic events in my life. Yet on some level, the beauty shone through of our life together.
It's so beautiful for you to share something so intimate and personal with us. And I think your words are so powerful for our listeners around how we deeply, deeply bond with our, you know, beloved animals in our lives, and how it really strikes me when you say, you know, I have committed myself at that point in my life to love, you know, Whimsy more than any being. And I can only imagine what that opened up inside of you around loving, you know, loving the children in your life, loving the partners in your life, the colleagues, other animals, loving your work through this really sacred relationship with your cat. I mean, it's awesome. It's amazing. So, what was moved in you? What through that process? I mean, to say your cat went with you all over the world. That is delightful. I mean, what incredible.
He did.
I mean, this is so incredible.
Yes. Yes, and I have, that's an extraordinarily poignant story at the end of his life, but I have absolutely hilarious stories. He did. He actually flew all over the world with me. And I used to say, because I've been such a gypsy for many, many years, that, you know, home to me, aside from where I grew up and where my parents were in New Jersey, but I was so rarely there, but home was where Whimsy was. That was home when the two of us were together wherever. But one thing that I clearly learned from losing him, and by the way, I hope we have time to talk about this, how animals send messages after they do pass, but Whimsy actually died, and I still get chills. He died on my daughter's 5th birthday.
Wow.
And at first I thought, how could that happen? How could that happen? But I, the following day, I received a clear message that it was because he had to leave, but he knew how dearly I loved my daughter, and she was there for me. And it was that reminder that he had to go, but in physical form, but she's there. She's there for me. But that 100% vulnerability. What I learned was that real strength in this life is to be vulnerable to love, to open ourselves to love so much that we are vulnerable. And that is where we gain our great strength and I believe the true richness of life here in the 3D world.
Oh, yes. That's so powerful. I would love to share with our friends an excerpt from your book to introduce more and more our time together today. Dr. Linda Bender has written a book, Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. And this is such a beautifully, I mean, so many incredible, powerful stories around the connection that we have with animals, how they bless us, what those relationships are for. And one excerpt I want to highlight that you've written is you say, Nietzsche was right when he wrote, "Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. I came to fully understand that my capacity for anguish was not a weakness, but a blessing. It was the shadow side of my capacity for love. The love came from the same bottomless place that tears come from. Grief and outrage were not, as I had always supposed, the obstacles to my calling. They were the expression of that calling. Once I realized this, I knew I would never again collapse in hopelessness. Sorrow would never again knock me off my feet. From now on, sorrow would be what held me upright." This absolutely blew my mind. It touched me to my very core. Being a therapist and working with people around grief and loss and suffering and death and tragedy and trauma, reading these words so clearly expressed that it was through your own suffering that you connected with love and knew that you would be able to bring your passion more and more into the world. And I want to share one more piece with it, and then when we come back from the break, I really want to give you an opportunity to expand on how people grieve and how that impacts them and their love for animals, because you say when people say of their departed animal, "I have lost my best friend," or "I've lost the one who loved me the most in the world," that this is so poignant and so pure, the love between a human and an animal. And that when we love an animal, we do so with the innocence of a child. And when we lose that animal, we grieve like a child. I mean, whoa, that puts it so clearly together of what people experience. When we come back from our break, we'll hear Linda's wisdom around this. Stay with us. We'll be back.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com, and let's start the conversation.
Friends of eWomen Network, I want to share with you two cutting-edge and soul-stirring books by author and visionary Chris Saadi. Both are highly recommended by a host of spiritual teachers, such as Kate Sheehan Roach and Andrew Harvey. These books focus on the emergence of an evolutionary spiritual understanding, that is, the importance and the power of living authentically, freeing our authentic, unique self, and pursuing our calling from our authentic passion to serve freedom, peace, justice, and inclusion. These two books are Second Wave Spirituality and Prayers for Peace and Justice by Chris Saadi. S-A-A-D-E. Saadi is on Amazon.com and the olivebranchcenter.net.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am your host, Counselor Mandy Epley, and I'm with Dr. Linda Bender today. Right before we went to break, I read a powerful quote from Linda's book, Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. And we were starting to focus on what people experience when a beloved pet or animal dies. And Linda, I want to ask, just give you every opportunity to share your heart around this.
We say that grieving has these different stages. Well, I'm sure that's the case. But I believe that every single person that grieves differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's personal to them. And I also don't think that people go through stages 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. I think that we go back and forth. It's, you know, like a rubber band almost. We go to one and then another and then back again. And it's a quagmire of emotions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, grief is a natural response to a shattering of a foundation of our life. And whether that is a beloved animal or a human family member, the grief is powerful. The grief is deep, and it hits the core of us.
Mm.
And there is a particular issue that I see so much of in veterinary medicine. My gosh, you know, I've seen so many animals pass over, and in practice with people and companion animals, I see a tremendous amount of guilt for two reasons. The first reason, and I'm sure we've all had this happen at some point, we've lost a beloved animal, and someone well-meaning says something like, oh, God, it's just an animal, you know, get over it. It's not a person. And then we suddenly feel guilt and shame multiplied by what we're already feeling. And then another guilt that I see so much in people that I work with and teach and speak to, and that is over euthanasia. You know, it is something that people just, it's very difficult when those decisions, how those decisions are made, and people carry a tremendous amount of guilt for a variety of reasons about euthanasia. So we're all over the board here. Do you agree that with humans that there are these same, I mean, obviously, I'm not talking about euthanasia, but the guilt of the whole process, the guilt of whether we grieve too much, and then there's guilt that we're not grieving enough. I mean,
I see that over and over again, especially in American people. There's such
very
incredible
much.
Fighting within. And a civil war within around how long I'm deeply grieving, how deep I'm grieving, why can't I get it together, what's wrong with me that I'm hurting this long. And, it, you know, this is, I see this when, you know, people go through divorce. I see people struggle with this when a spouse or even a child dies, that we have this idea that, you know, 12 weeks have passed. Why am I still in so much pain? And then when people lose a beloved pet, I mean, I've been so fortunate. I've been able to work with people around a myriad of life losses. And some of the most tender sessions that I've participated in with clients have been around months and months of work around reclaiming their lives once their beloved pet has died. Because these relationships, these animals are their family. And
that's
even
right.
when they have children and spouses and healthy relationships with their children and spouses, there's a bond. There's a deep, unconditional love that comes from, you know,
right.
a beloved dog,
yes.
a beloved cat.
Yes.
So I do
yes.
see that. I do see that.
Yes.
I so see that people, you know, when a beloved animal dies, that the people around the individual really are kind of ready for them to, you know, get on with it. And what I love so much about your book is how you so powerfully validate who animals are in a human being's life.
Yes, yes. You know, the at the end of the day, all life is one. So when they are, you know, there's three ways to connect with animals. One is just through observation. Two is through a bond of having a companion animal. Then the third way is when that bond becomes very, very deep and rich, and it's a bond that is like any other loving bond is in life. And often when we lose our companion animals, you know, it's sometimes the first time we experience death. And when we pay attention to that beloved being that's crossing over, you know, they handle death and dying, I believe, it better than we do. Mm. And they're often more ready and accepting than we are to let them go. And I also want to say to parents that need to address this issue with children. If a family companion animal, beloved dog or cat, passes over, we need to address it. We don't ignore it. We should share that experience and allow children to grieve. Talk about it. Let children go through the process, because children understand at a level that is beyond words. They do understand, and it's really important. It's a great window of opportunity to open the topic, which we desperately need to do more of in this country. You know, none of us gets out of here alive.
Yeah.
There's a wonderful man by the name of Dr. Peter Fenwick. He's a British doctor. He wrote a book called The Act of Dying Well. And he's quite funny, but he said, you know, when we go on a trip, when we travel, we always have a map. We need that. But why is it through dying, which we all will eventually do, there's no map. There's no guideline. There's no roadmap. We've never done it. And so he spent all sorts of time and actually interviewing and working through the process of people who are dying. And he has a fascinating this book, The Act of Dying Well, is a bit full of science, but I mean it points out how, you know, death and dying is part of the real richness of being alive. You know, even Saint Francis once said, "Keep a clear eye toward life's end. Don't forget your purpose and destiny as God's creature. What you are in His sight is what you are, and nothing more. And remember that when we leave this earth, the only thing we take with us is what we've received, what we've given. What we've given, and that's a heart that's been enriched by life, love, and sacrifice. So it's taking in, it's allowing life to fill us, not just the good, but the poignant, the tragic, all of it, and stirring it up and living it, and in a way being joyous of the entire process.
Oh, yes, yes, allowing. I mean, what you're sharing touches me around, you know, how the wisdom that you've learned from animals and how you're passing that on. That's, I mean, so much of it is this incredible, deep, rich teaching around embracing our own human journey. That's what I find so amazing about your work, and why I want everyone to know about your work is you're bringing so much empowerment to individual leadership, you know, for me, my leadership in the world, by, you know, through this compassionate love you have and what you've learned from the wisdom of animals. You bring this together in such a whole way. As you said, life is all one, you know. And
yes,
it's so powerful to me. And I think it's also so special for people that, because there are millions of people that are so in love with the dogs and the cats. I mean, just the domestic animals in their lives and how important those relationships are. And again, I think your work is such a powerful advocate and also so normalizing of how important those relationships are.
They really are. And I think when we consider, because their lives are shorter, you know, our beloved dogs and cats, the animals in nature that we are close to, you know, when we consider their dying, and you know, in our society we tend to think of all death as a medical failure, the end of everything. It's just a total failure. When in fact, we need to rethink that. Rather than focusing on that idea, focus on the beauty and the joy of the lives that we've shared together. It makes a huge difference, you know, when we are having to deal with going through that process, whether it be a human, whether it be one of our, you know, beloved animal friends. It's, you know, an adventure we all face. You know, life brings us all there.
I love what you said. And when we come back from break, we'll speak about this more. But I love when you were sharing that quote that none of us get out of this alive. I mean, it's such a great quote. All right, friends, stay with us. We'll be back with Dr. Linda Bender.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
The seven steps of grief and hope can be found at therespite.org on the Hope Is Now page. This is a video series that I had the honor and privilege of co-creating with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Saadi. This model, the model of heart-centered grief, is designed in seven coaching sessions where you can stream or watch the DVD videos where Chris and I are coaching you through these incredibly powerful seven steps to give you hope, and their practical ideas, creative ideas, to help you move through your grief journey in an inspired way, in a way with great dignity, and to support you through this difficult time in your life. Whatever your loss is, friend, the model of heart-centered grief is designed to empower you and encourage you on your journey.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I'm your host, Counselor Mandy Epley. I'm with Dr. Linda Bender today. And before we went to break, Linda, you were speaking about rethinking that, you know, that the end is not the failure, but instead focusing on the beauty in our lives and all that we've shared together. And I'd love for you to be able to share with us some of the incredible experiences you've had in your work.
I would be delighted to do that. As we were briefly speaking earlier, I just came back from a trip to London, and I had an opportunity to see my good friend, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, who is a longtime friend and colleague, and he is a biologist with a PhD, and he's done years of research on what we call, quote, the unexplained powers of animals. And actually, he and I have the only two databases like this in the world of stories that people have sent in about stories with beloved animals that people just cannot explain and somehow defy science. And what I would like to share is that I've been recently working with regrouping a lot of my stories, and I've had a particular a lot that have come in this year because I've been focusing on collecting more stories. And what I find that is so fascinating is that a huge percentage of the stories that people send in, and these stories come from people of all ages, all backgrounds, all over the world, actually. So many of the stories involve animals that have contacted their owners in a variety of ways after they have left this life, after they've died. And they never cease to astonish me. They are beyond what anyone could make up. And people are so eager to share with me these stories, because I often hear, oh, you know, I can't talk about this to so-and-so, I can't talk about this to another person, but I can tell you. So, you know, these stories are not paranormal, they are actually normal. There was an amazing story I just heard, a woman told me just the other day, and she said, you won't believe this, Linda, but my beloved cat crossed over, and it was about 2 weeks after, she came back. I saw her like a cloud. She would walk around in the kitchen. Well, I knew it was true, and it gave me clarity and you know, owning the fact that she was there. But a friend of hers stopped by and came in through the kitchen door at about this time. Now, this was a female policewoman. She was very, very matter of fact. There was no nonsense here. Nothing to do with anything out of what we would consider not science or nothing paranormal. Well, she walked through the kitchen, and this woman suddenly she tripped. She stumbled. She caught her footing, but she stumbled as she was walking into the kitchen, and looked down and said, "Oh, my God! There's your cat." Rufus, he just crossed in front of me. Here was this woman who was completely, you know, it was so obvious to her. She physically almost tripped over the spirit of this cat that crossed in front of her. Yes,
oh,
yes. So, you know, we were roaring with laughter because it really happened.
Very matter-of-fact police officer. That is just delightful.
Yes.
And it just
tromping in the kitchen door.
Wait. So amazing. So amazing. And again, I'm so excited to be able to share for people that will hear about your work through our show, Finding Hope. Because, again, what's so special is you're bringing the sacred into these relationships and with animals. But then also, I'm so intrigued by around the whole, the oneness of it all, around the spirituality of
yes.
it all, and the larger
yes.
view of life that you are teaching from that is all about love. And what is so
yes.
amazing to me is whether you happen to have a doctoral degree in veterinary medicine, or, you know, whether it's a mechanic, or whether it's, you know, myself as a therapist or a chef or a banker, an accountant. It's so amazing how when we open up our hearts as human beings and we share our stories of heartbreak and heartache, and we share what, happened in our lives through that, there's just, and it doesn't matter what discipline you're coming from, it's so amazing the wisdom. We all land in the same place, don't we? About
yes.
love.
Yes. Yes. And it's, you know, I truly believe that when we come into this world, we're already complete. You know, we're told we have to grow up, we have to stuff our heads full of information, we have to get better, we have to get smart. And on some level, of course, that's true. But I do believe that we come in with our gifts and our talents. We come in as love. We come in as as hearts and filled with treasures. And those two, the two most important days, the day we're born, I think it was Mark Twain who said the two most important days of our lives are the day we're born and the day we figure out why. And I believe that we're just here to express what's in that, what are in our hearts, and that the suffering, the tragedies, the grief, they're all on some level opportunities for us to, okay, this has happened, and all right, it is what it is, and this is another opportunity for me to show up as who I truly am and express that and be it and be love. I really believe we're all here as emissaries of love, and animals are the great teacher of that, and companions on you know, as we walk the path.
So what do you wish, you know, the average American person understood about our relationship with animals?
That the word animal, the root word for animal is anima, and anima means soul. That all life is soul. All life is precious. We cannot live without all of the beings, the non-human beings, the life forms that are here with us. There's no greater, lesser, more important, less important. It's all one. And we are here to share and care for one another. And at this point in the world, we mustn't feel hopeless and fearful of what's going on in the world. We must be grounded in the reality of what is going on in the world, all the hardship, all the suffering, and not let it break us.
Yeah.
We must look through it, not ignore it, but look through it. And in that way, we can handle it, and we are stronger, knowing that we really are here to transform what is going wrong in this world. And that's why we're here. Yes, to do the best we can. And
yeah.
You know, one person can't do everything, but everybody can do something. And I always ask people to open your hearts to animals and do something to help animals and speak the voice in your heart. And don't be afraid to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, to do that one thing, whatever your one thing is. And that's, you know, I think that it's so important what you're saying to, you know, when we turn on the news or we are paying attention to, you know, one more species that is extinct, it's incredibly easy to become completely overwhelmed, completely hopeless, and you know, feel like, you know, I'm just little old me, you know, I'm not a person of power. What can I really do? It's so easy to give in to that voice. And what I love about what you're saying is, you know, to look through it to, you know, to what is the one thing that I can do? And what do you, when people ask you that question, which I know they do, around what is something that, you know, average American person can do around helping with animals?
Well, I actually, in my book, Animal Wisdom, I have a whole chapter on things that people can do, but everybody can do something. And actually, we are making a difference every day. You know, every decision we make is making a difference, is causing a difference. And what we need to think about is, you know, are we making the difference that we want to be making by the decisions we make? And there are specific things that everybody should do. And that is, number one, I tell everyone, before you face the day, before you turn on the radio, before you listen to the news, take a few moments in the morning before you do anything and go into the quiet. Do 5 minutes of meditation. That is where we'll get our strength to help us lead a more heartful life. Just a few minutes every day and a few other simple things. Of course, you know, be mindful of the animals in the natural world that we share our environment with. Be mindful, you know, help them if they're lost or homeless. Always have an eye and an ear and a heart open to help when it's needed. If you see an animal that's stray, stop and help. Don't assume someone else will. And the other important thing we can do that helps tremendously is not to get into a whole other topic, but as far as the food animal industry, please eat less meat. Eat less meat. You will be helping the planet, you'll be helping animals, and you'll be helping your own body. So there are a multitude of things that we do every day that make a difference.
Wow, those are all such important things that any of us can do. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Dr. Linda Bender more about her work in the world. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Finding Hope. I am so fortunate. We're so lucky to be with Dr. Linda Bender today. And we are talking about her work in the world, which is incredibly amazing and intriguing. And I want to remind you all about Dr. Linda's book, Animal Wisdom, Learning from the Spiritual Lives of Animals. So will you tell us more about your work in the world?
Yes, I would love to. I would like to mention my nonprofit that is called From the Heart. And you can learn more about it on my website, which is lindabender.org. And it's twofold, actually, because the many years I lived and worked overseas helping wildlife, I developed really such a passion for conservation. So part of that work involved helping animals, you know, the large land animals that are on the brink of extinction in Africa, the elephants. The poaching is just beyond anything it's ever been. It's, you know, less than 100 years ago, there were millions of elephants roaming in Africa. Today, there are less than 200,000, and we're losing to poaching about 38,000 a year. And so we do the math. So, you know, it's absolutely crucial, critical that we work, and that includes boots on the ground, protecting animals. It includes education. It includes changing, you know, laws. For example, in this country, we need to really work harder of saying no more imports. And I think Cecil the Lion captured the hearts of so many people. That was Lion was hunted. He was a collared lion who had been studied. He was out free, but Oxford that were working with tracking certain animals. And so around the world, there was outrage of hunting. So there's much to be done there. But also in this country, you know, where we love animals so much. By the way, we in the U.S., we are the number 2 import for poached animals from around the world. But right here in this country where we love our dogs and cats so much, the number 1 cause of death of healthy under 2-year-old dogs and cats is euthanasia. So we can do a whole lot better than that. There are just too many unwanted animals. This is a human problem, not an animal problem. And interestingly enough, over 2 years of age, I really would like people to be mindful of this, over the age of two in dogs and cats in this country, the number one cause of death is cancer. And I believe that the reason for that is, well, there are many reasons for it, but one of the biggest are that we in this country spray pesticides everywhere. Mm. And our dogs and cats are who are out there, I mean, it is, it's I think, a number one killer in our country. Yeah. So there's so much. So I also have educational programs dealing with all these issues, plus helping advocates. I work with people individually who are have compassion burnout, who have grief issues. So there are many, many things that I do in my nonprofit. So I'm always anxious to share that. And I have one bit of good news. Coming up in the next few months, I have a piece of jewelry that was designed by a great designer by the name of Gerhan, who is creating a gold paw print. And part of the proceeds of the sale of those pendants will go toward my nonprofit. So all of this will be on my website. Yes, yes. So animals have inspired me to do great things. And I was also thinking before we took the break of things that people do and how grief can motivate us to show up as love in the world. And a quick story of a woman whose dog passed away, and she was totally brokenhearted. Her dog was euthanized, and she couldn't be there at the time that that happened. And she just had such difficulty getting over it. And I said to her, look, you've got to do something about this. You've got to get out and do something in the name of your beloved dog. Do something for your dog. Help other dogs. How can you do it? She thought about it and thought about it. And she called me several months later, and she said, you know, I want to help other animals. I don't want any animals to leave this world alone. So she said, I've started to volunteer at a vet's office. So when an animal is going to be put to sleep and there's no one there, I come in and I stay with the animal. And so I'm holding the animal in my arms at the end of their life.
Oh,
so just another example of how our lives are transformed by the experiences we go through with our beloved animals, and we can turn suffering or tragedy or grief into doing good in the world.
So incredibly, just volcanic for me. I mean, exciting, incredible to hear you speak about your work and even the story that you shared of this incredible woman. I wrote down what you said, and I'm going to quote you again and again, that grief can motivate us to show up as love in the world. That's so much about what the grief model that I have co-created with my dear friend and colleague, Chris Dotti, the 7 steps of grief and hope. The model of Heart Centered Grief is all about everything that you've been speaking about, and why it's such a privilege to speak with you is your life is about service. And step 6 of the model of Heart Journey Grief is service. And the whole purpose is to empower all of us in our stories. When we have these sad things happen that are out of our control, or even if at times if it was our own choosing and we're still heartbroken, to look for, because there's not that roadmap that you were speaking about earlier, there's not a roadmap around death and dying. We've never done it before. There's not a roadmap around grieving. And the model of Heart-Centered Grief is an offering around a process to be empowered in your grief journey. And what the example that you gave is so perfect around this woman couldn't get any movement, and you empowered her by saying, okay, do something in the name of your beloved dog. Do something to give back.
And look at this amazing thing that she was doing. Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
It really transformed her. It transformed her, and it honored her dog that, you know, that was a noble, pure, wonderful being that she adored. And it was really a life-altering experience.
It's just so incredible. And I, what, you know, for you, what do you hope that your legacy can be in all this work and all your travels, all the giving that you've done? What are you hoping that your legacy will be?
I would love it to go out of business. I would love to leave this world saying, no longer needed.
Isn't that that's fantastic? That is just brilliant. Oh, well, I adore that. I mean, just that people, you know, will continue to wake up their hearts. And that's what
yes.
we want to encourage our listening friends, to keep opening your heart, friends, and that, you know, if you are really in a lot of pain, if you're resisting being vulnerable, if you feel so frustrated around, I am stuck and I can't find any hope at all, I really encourage you to reach out for tools like Dr. Linda Bender's book, Animal Wisdom, to reach out and find the 7 steps of grief and hope. You can find that at therespite.org. There are tools out there, and there are incredible people that are here to help you in your journey. It's easy to get discouraged, and I think we all have incredible empathy for what it's like to feel lost. And what you're saying so beautifully about, you know, grief can allow us to show up in love, can motivate us to do that. But we have to do the work, friends, of keeping our hearts open no matter what.
Yes.
And there and that's the individual work, to keep our hearts open no matter
right.
what. And
yes.
Yeah, I want
not
to give
be afraid.
You closing words. I want to give you a chance to bring your closing words to us today.
Yes, I see many times that people, when they lose their animals, they're afraid. They're afraid to feel the grief. They're afraid to allow the floodgates to open to the brokenness. And what I want to say, so it is so important to allow the floodgates to open,
mm-hmm.
because it's the only way we truly heal.
Yes.
When we allow all of the emotions to flow through us. It is how we heal. It is how we heal. Allow. Simply allow. Simply allow the process.
Wow, I'm telling you, I have chills. I'm like sweating. I mean, I'm so grateful for your spirit in the world and what you're bringing and your incredible passion and your tenacity. Thank you, Dr. Linda Bender. On behalf of those 200,000 elephants and dogs and cats and human beings everywhere, thank you for your open heart and for all that you're doing for this planet.
Oh, and thank you for yours. Thank you for your beautiful heart and your beautiful work.
Thank you. Okay, you guys, we will be with you next week. Please tell the animal-loving people in your life about Dr. Linda Bender, about her work, and about animal wisdom, learning from the spiritual lives of animals. Take good care, everybody. See you next week.
Counselor Mandy would like to offer you a free gift. As you've heard on her show, Finding Hope, she and Chris Saadi co-created the 7 Steps of Grief and Hope. She would like for you to have a free recording that includes an introduction to the 7 steps and takes a deep dive into step 4, paradox. In this recording, Chris and Mandy talk about how important it is to honor the grief journey.
After listening to this recording, you will understand the importance of viewing your grief paradoxically, feel supported that you're not alone, and be inspired about how your grief can help others. To download this free recording, visit therespite.org. Just scroll down on the homepage to where it says, "Hear about the transformational 7 steps of grief and hope," and click the Get Access button. It's that easy. Mandy's passion in life is helping people see that the losses in their life have meaning. We hope you'll accept this free gift from her. Again, visit therespite.org to get your free recording.
Future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.